All right, so we're here with another episode of Inside Out. Special guest from Autodesk. Who are you?
Peter Riggs, that's my name. I'm a product manager in our geospatial team. We fit into the bigger, much bigger Autodesk in what we call our platform division. So the way most people understand and know Autodesk is from our flagship product, AutoCAD.
Yes.
You know, we have just celebrated our 25 years in business.
Nice.
Very much based on AutoCAD. So we're building on that foundation, but focusing on the geospatial, the GIS market.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about that market. So what is the geospatial market community? Let's talk about geospatial data in general.
Geospatial
Why
data?
Are you doing this?
Yeah. Geospatial, or the GIS market, as some people would prefer to call it, I guess, has been around for a very long time. To Autodesk, it's very much a natural extension of the CAD environment. You design infrastructure, and infrastructure can be everything from buildings. To us, it has more to do with the geographic aspect of infrastructure. It could be for land planning purposes. It could be the infrastructure in terms of utility pipelines, water, gas, electricity. Being able to, you know, build a road network, understanding the geographic aspect of that. So GIS data is a fundamental, you know, data type, if you like, in a database environment these days. It used to be very much based on the vendors who created the GIS market to use their own proprietary formats. But, you know, the advent of SQL Server 2008, having the data type to actually describe spatial information in the database is an opportunity for us as a company to bring that intelligence back out through our applications, and then have applications developed, solutions developed, that can go into, let's say, key industries that we're already in. The utilities market, the telecoms market, state and local government, public works department, they all plan, they analyze, they design infrastructure that our solutions then help, let's say, put in place.
Excellent. And so with geospatial data then, as an example, you'd be able to design a building around the context of what's happening outside of it, right? Meaning, you know, the nearby structures, the plumbing of the city in general, all of that being achieved by geospatial data in a database that you're able to pull down and apply to
that
structure.
That's correct. I mean, architects have been designing buildings as just standalone components.
Sure.
You know, people design machines as standalone entities. In our world, most things have got a location, an XY coordinate, so you can put things on the surface of the earth. And that's really the fundamental principle behind GIS data, that we can locate things, we can put things in the context of the environment around you.
Absolutely.
So having that in the database, being able to then use that with your traditional business data, or asset data, is a tremendous value to, as I say, utilities or public works teams, to much better plan and basically manage, maintain these assets.
Absolutely, and in a much more realistic way.
In a much more realistic way, absolutely. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, so you mentioned SQL Server 2008. What, I mean, you guys have sort of a marketing kind of phrase that you use, like design for SQL Server 2008. What does that mean?
Well, I think fundamentally a lot of what we do at Autodesk falls back on the kind of tagline you see on the screen here, experience your ideas before they're real. We put that mentality into our product development, having that then related to a database like SQL Server is kind of just a natural next step for us. There are the files, GIS data files out there today from a number of different vendors, including, you know, Autodesk, that you can access and bring to life through our applications. But the real advantage having it in a database is the ability to obviously share between, you know, in a multi-user environment, share that information more effectively, combine that geographical-based data with the more traditional attributes from your business.
Sure.
So the more we can bring that data, I mean, we bring it to life by putting geometry, you know, the spatial information, the visual representation on the screen, and then allow you to analyze the underlying data from that same database, the same records, in different ways by, you know, putting colors on the map so you can clearly and visually distinguish features, perhaps understand the relationship between the data from, again, a geographically based or visual representation.
Excellent. So it took SQL a while to actually implement the geospatial data type.
That's fair to say, yep.
And I'm sure companies like you and various other people helped, you know, encourage them to do so. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it wasn't a trivial problem for them to solve. And you've worked closely with that team. What was that experience like?
Yeah, so as I said earlier, we have, obviously, in the GIS market, there has been a number of different file formats available in the past. Mm-hmm. Other database vendors have perhaps, they took the early adoption route of putting that same geometry data into databases. And as I normally say, finally Microsoft did it. So we've been working with SQL Server since 2000, as well as 2005 versions, and having basically enabled those versions of SQL Server to have and understand that same spatial information. But it was the Autodesk implementation, no different to other vendors put their implementation into SQL Server. What stands out now as being kind of unique is that Microsoft has gotten involved. You have defined, you know, that type of data in the database. And I think in the same way as we have seen the geospatial community, vendors, customers, gravitate around other databases enabled with this capability, we are definitely going to see that same momentum around SQL Server, just given the sheer footprint and market share of SQL Server, especially in some of the target markets that we're going after, utilities market, local government. A lot of those existing customers that we work with already have SQL Server in the organization. And having now having the opportunity to enable this, let's say in the Microsoft sense of the word, gives us tremendous benefits and leverage within these accounts. We can go in and plug in a little extra piece, and all of a sudden, their data comes to life in a much different or in a very different way.
Excellent.
So we've had good success working with the the spatial team within your SQL Server 2008 group, and having a lot of discussions around how best to mature the product, obviously in a way that benefits the CAD GIS design tools that we built.
Sure.
But I'm sure other vendors have had, you know, similar input and good workings with your team. So it's been a very positive, you know, experience, you know, from where I see things.
Excellent. Well, I mean, and again, it's a native type in SQL now.
That's, exactly.
That's the point.
Exactly. That's the very point.
And so in order for you to communicate with SQL, you had to write an abstraction layer of some type to communicate your data from SQL and then back into your application.
That's true. There are ways, different ways you can interact, obviously, with SQL Server database in terms of, you know, API components. But one of the things that Autodesk did a few years back now was to develop, as you say, an abstraction layer. Again, the market is flooded with different GIS file formats. You know, different file formats are sometimes vendor proprietary, vendor specific. Others are more in the sort of domain of you know, openness, open source. So what we decided to do, given, you know, the fairly broad footprint of our applications, was to create a foundation for all spatial data access. And that foundation really allows us to go and access a lot of different file formats as native data within our applications. So, as you say, what we have created recently, developed recently for SQL Server 2008, is just an additional piece to plug into that infrastructure, which essentially means that with that little extra component, we call them providers, data providers.
Sure.
you know, all our existing applications as well as third-party applications using this same foundation, mm-hmm. All of a sudden can access SQL Server spatial data natively and without additional programming efforts mm-hmm. in the application layer.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I mean, the idea, I mean, you want data to be easily accessible. And it's a bummer to get a bunch of data you can't understand.
Yeah, easily accessible. And I guess part of the Autodesk drive and mentality is very much that of democratizing, mm-hmm. unlocking the data that has previously been, I guess, locked up and, mm-hmm. and somewhat proprietary to certain vendors, you know, GIS and spatial products and applications.
Sure.
This layer kind of democratizes all data access mm-hmm. in the spatial sense of the word. No different really to what ODBC did to the early days Microsoft applications. It was a way to get access to a number of different files in a uniform manner. Mm-hmm. And what we call our FDO, data access technology, does exactly that for spatial information.
Excellent.
So data from one source will look consistent to data from another source, and now SQL Server Spatial.
Now, what types of developers are you targeting? I mean, if I'm a developer working for company X, what am I writing? C++? What am I doing?
So, we have, because of the legacy of AutoCAD mm-hmm. being the foundation for a lot of things we do, we have a number of different APIs across our product set. But I think more specifically relative to the audience of this particular chat, we are, you know, Microsoft's APIs in terms of the newer .NET APIs mm. is very much implemented throughout our geospatial product line.
Great.
Where we don't have native .NET, we have .NET wrappers. We have ways of integrating our product line mm-hmm. As well as obviously offer the broad set of capabilities, whether it be an API for our Windows-based product, mm-hmm. Desktop product, or it comes from the mapping server in the web environment. Mm. Consistent .NET-based APIs across the board that allows you access to and to the data, as well as obviously create the solutions that an ISV or system integrator need to create for his customer base.
Excellent. Very cool. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit. Let's look at a workflow. Actually,
yeah,
good.
I guess we could talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. I think it really talks to the fact that you know, within our geospatial business, we are working with customers who very much has the foundation with Autodesk, at least from the native AutoCAD environment. Mm. They're used to designing things in a CAD manner, computer-aided design. But traditional GIS or geospatial tools are not necessarily considered design tools. They are considered perhaps more for the visual impact of using, you know, spatial or geometry information on the screen, so planning and analysis. So what we really want to get across to our user base and the mentality we put into our product development is the sort of migration and integration and workflow that is within every single organization, mm-hmm. typically starting out with the design, moving the design into a, you know, as-built or construction phase. Out of that comes the need to maybe put the building or the infrastructure in the context of what you see on the ground. Mm-hmm. So that's where mapping comes in, the location aspect. And the next phase of that is then moving that kind of mainstream or that specific team-based involvement into more of a mainstream IT, where you start involving the database. So that's where SQL Server comes in, mm. when multiple users need to get access to this data for analysis, planning, broad visualization, and maybe even simulation. As we look into the future a little bit, we see this being much more a, you know, also based on time.
Okay.
So you can actually simulate and plan better for, you know, future impact to environment or other things.
Excellent.
So this workflow is essentially how we design our software, looking at, again, what needs to take place within the individual areas as well as the integration points between them.
So, I mean, the question that I ask here is, I mean, if you look at this, it's sort of, I'm an architect, and I'm going to design a building. So right now, I'm just thinking about the building. I'm just thinking about the structure. Mm-hmm. So I'm focused down on that. But while I'm doing that, you've enabled me to also start thinking about the realistic situation that I'm in, because clearly that's going to have an effect on my design, right? Am I building a building next to a mountain, right? That might
Absolutely.
Have
yeah.
might have a volcano.
Sure.
And I'm,
so. Buildings are, I would say, are one thing or one aspect of design.
Agreed. Then
you talk about more of the, perhaps the infrastructure pieces that connects buildings. Mm-hmm. So you need to understand the topology between the water, gas, electricity pipelines, mm-hmm. or power sources that run between buildings.
Okay.
And connects it all. Roads, bridges.
Absolutely.
Everything like that obviously needs to be planned according to the landscape it's on. And that's really where the mapping piece, the geographic elements, falls into play.
And all of these are, this, I guess what I was trying to get at in my kind of weird, convoluted question, was that information is available to me at design time when I'm in AutoCAD today using these tools, right?
So in terms of the interoperability between our products, AutoCAD is perhaps seen more as the self-contained okay. design environment right now. But we are making a lot of attempts and steps to ensure that the interoperability between that sort of self-contained design environment has all the hooks in place in the file format, as well as, you know, the interoperability format, exchange formats, to allow this smooth migration and interoperability between these capabilities or these workflow components.
Excellent.
So that the design team of, you know, engineers, designers, drafters can share their work much more efficiently. And, you know, be it either within the existing tool set or when we just look a little bit into the future, software as a service, there are lots of new concepts being built and maturing as we speak that will help this integration, because designers may want to put their designs on the web.
Absolutely.
And collaboratively have input or take input from, you know, agencies, regulatory bodies, have contractors provide input, reviews of the designs, etc.
Absolutely.
So there are lots of pieces and components, individuals, as part of the bigger ecosystem, getting all of this to hang together.
Excellent. And it would be nice to be able to just, you know, I'm going to use a building again as an example. It's not like everybody designs buildings, as you were saying, but I could just then give my building to this virtual world and say, what would happen when I plop this into your city? Right. Let's see. Do I fit into your energy scheme? Do I fit into your
Absolutely.
Utility scheme? That's actually would be really efficient and useful. That's very cool stuff.
Sure.
So now we will move on to a demo, right? Or do you want to show me?
I do.
It's always
have,
fun to look at stuff.
Sure. No, I do have a little thing prepared. And maybe just a precursor to that, if I may.
Sure.
Fundamentally, what I would like to show is the data access technology that we talked about earlier, how we actually get access to SQL Server data. And I think one very important element of that component is the fact that it's not just proprietary to Autodesk. So in the same way as I perhaps illustrated that some vendors take a proprietary nature to their data, we could be blamed for the same, maybe for certain things we do. So what we decided to do a couple of years ago was actually to put this whole data access technology into the hands of the open source community. So not just as a third-party developer can you access it. It's free. It's downloadable right off a website. You can plug it into your own environment. You can indeed create other providers which gives you access or allow a particular organization to access maybe their unique spatial data. So this is just an illustration of how Autodesk plays in the open source community. We have three major pieces of code available, both the actual web mapping capability, the data access technology, and then really what makes the whole world hang together in different ways, the so-called coordinate systems. So we all live, you know, different places on Earth, and the good old problem of turning a round thing like the globe into a flat representation
sure.
is the idea. Well, you have to project that world in different ways depending on where you live to make your country, your area, you know, look nice. And that particular capability we're also trying to democratize by making it available to the open source community, so anyone can just pick up that piece for free.
Interesting.
And develop with it.
And you think that's a critically important for democratizing this data?
So the coordinate system piece is not necessarily critically for democratizing the data, mm-hmm. but again, manipulating the data, it belongs into that area. The
sure.
FDO data access technology is really the data piece that helps open up, unlock data that is otherwise not available.
Absolutely.
To other than very specific applications.
And you've opened it up to the community so that when some hot shot out there develops some interesting algorithm or something, everyone can get a piece of it.
That's exactly the point of open source. I mean, Autodesk itself has had challenges in terms of getting products to market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have customers saying that, you know, you release things too often. You know, we have an annual release cycle in place and...
I wish we had that problem.
Having then started working with your SQL Server team and mm-hmm. understanding that you're sort of on a more 3-year cycle,
sure,
that has been an interesting, I guess, experience to us. But as I say, you know, we release things on an annual basis in general. To some customers, that's too often. To other customers, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And especially to that, I guess, growing population of developers or system integrators who are becoming familiar with the perpetual betas of certain software from the internet. They want to see things fixed fast.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be able to just download the new versions, be it the new version of a browser or a particular toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
That to us became very useful as well for certain aspects of our product line. And that's why we sort of got involved with open source, to have the community help us develop new things, mm-hmm. but at the same time also get on that faster cycle than what we as Autodesk, you know, with a lot of structure and process in place,
mm-hmm.
can deal with.
Absolutely. I mean, it does bring up an interesting point because typically, I mean, you'd want, when you do a big release, you want there to be value there, right? So it takes time to innovate mm-hmm. in certain cases. So to be fair to SQL Server, it takes them probably about 3 years to really come up with substantial innovation to make customers want to upgrade.
Sure.
Right? And that's definitely a challenge for all companies in this industry. Is like,
no, absolutely.
What's the value?
Absolutely.
But very cool. And I see you support a whole host of languages, which is also very nice.
Sure.
Great.
Should we get to the demo?
Let's check it out.
For sure. So just to set the scene for what I plan to spend a little time on here, my little slide here basically talks about how all of the data that I'm going to be using sits in SQL Server 2008 using the new spatial capabilities. So that's basically an illustration here that we now have, you know, colorful GIS data.
Excellent.
In the database. I'm then going to use our Windows XP and Vista-based desktop product, AutoCAD Map 3D. Which allows you to, you know, obviously retrieve and work with the data, transact on the data, update the data back to the database.
Nice.
And finally, I was going to publish the content, publish the final result, if you like, across to a web mapping product called MapGuide Enterprise.
Okay.
That's the very product that is also available as open source free software.
Mm.
So again, if you want to get involved with Autodesk software on the web, mm-hmm. you know, the MapGuide open source product, full source code, anything like that is available from the open source community.
Outstanding.
And that allows basically broad distribution to the internet through browsers. So if I come out of this very quickly here and I flip across to this very blank screen right now, but this is the AutoCAD Map 3D product. Within one of our dialogues here, I would simply type in username, password, and in this case, the service name localhost. Everything is local to my laptop here,
sure.
So don't judge performance or
yeah.
or anything else. It's all totally self-contained.
Okay.
But you'll see when I log in, it basically presents me with three different schemas here. I've got a set of data from the city of Reading, south of here. I would simply connect to that, and what you'll see now is layers, data layers, tables in a database
mm-hmm.
come up here. I have a layer of parcels,
nice.
Land parcels, parks, roads, some signals, and some zoning information. I'm just going to check a couple of these layers off and add it to the map. So what you'll see now is that the SQL Server data from my laptop database here is just loaded onto the screen. The first piece you saw there was some parcel, some parks, and then the parcel information. I'm just gonna zoom into an area here. So now it begins to look a little bit more like a landscape, or at least all the parcel fabrics.
Sure.
Each and every piece here, you see when I hover across, you know, highlights, and that's basically because it's a piece of data. It's a record in the database. So what I could do was to select one of them. I could right click and I could move it and say, I want to take that piece and move it out here. When I now hit the check-in button, it basically updates the database. So, but that's just the geometry part. That's the visual component of the SQL Server data. If I look up here in my so-called layer control, you see that I have loaded parks and parcels. Now I can style, I can give it colors and values that more perhaps represent the reality here. So parks perhaps should be green and that kind of thing. But what I can also do is to say, bring up basically the attribute information from the database. So here you will see more of a traditional grid of all the data that lives in the database, including things like land value, street names, maybe a parcel number, a calculated area value. So all of this data just lives in the database, including the visual component. So what I can use this particular data for is to maybe do a bit of analysis on the information here. So I would come back up to my parcels, edit the style. So let's say I want to see the actual land value of each of these parcels represented in a graphical fashion. I can create a theme, and the theme should be based on the land value. And then you have different types of distribution methods. I'm just going to choose standard deviation. I can choose any kind of color scheme. We have standard palettes in place, or you can choose your own colors to represent this data. I'm just going to stick with the defaults here. So basically what you'll see now is the land value of each parcel has been broken down into, in this case, the five segments I asked for, and the value is now represented visually in the map behind it.
Nice.
So it's just a way of bringing, again, perhaps business data. This could be revenue per area, or it could go down and look at, you know, it could be retail outlets that generates revenue, and you could basically shade and colorize maybe zip code boundaries. Any data available as attribute information in the database can be combined with a geometry component, the spatial visual representation of it.
Excellent.
And used for analysis purposes. Now, this is all me just doing things on a laptop here, very standalone, but if I want to get this out to a much wider audience, either directly on the internet for the world to see it, or maybe just an intranet for a broader population, I would come up on the file here and go publish to Autodesk Map Guide. And simply log into my mapping server. For this particular purpose, I'm just going to quickly come over here and call it Demo 2 as a data set and simply publish it. So now I'm essentially publishing this data, kind of behind the scene, copying this information across to my web server. I'm going to cancel out of this. And what you will see come up here is the browser environment, in which you will see in just a few seconds, basically that very same data be represented, as I say, through a browser and therefore be available to anyone with access to the server.
Nice.
This is probably where I have to apologize my poor laptop here for performance, but
sure,
you know, it'll get there.
Well, I mean, it's taking all of that and generating it into, I would imagine, DHTML, right? I mean, browsers.
So, yeah, the whole interface here is an AGX-based interface, and now you kind of start seeing.
Nice.
And just like I did earlier, you can kind of zoom into a much more specific area.
Nice.
Very, very simple little demo that shows desktop, web working together around the data that comes straight out of SQL Server 2008.
Excellent. I mean, obviously something very useful would be to just map out parts of, say, Seattle and figure out where I can afford to buy a house, right? Simply looking at a color map.
Sure.
If you look at, you know, if in this case value means how much it's worth in terms of money.
Sure.
Value could have another meaning, but it's interesting. That's very useful.
I mean, again, if the public has access to that kind of information, and maybe that I think, leads us into certainly what we have in mind for the future, where we're looking at much more the collaborative approach between city governments who are designing city landscapes, with agencies, regulatory bodies, and the public, who will obviously want to have a vote on, you know, things that are changing in their landscape. That's the kind of intelligence that these types of applications with the intelligence from the database can bring to bear and actually virtualize in a 3D cityscape kind of concept.
It's interesting because I think most people don't really think about the advent and evolution of a city, right? It has to start somewhere. But if you look around a place like Seattle, for example, it's clear that it was built in a very analog way. When you think about the traffic and various other things. But this will actually change the way cities are designed from the beginning, right? So there's going to be new cities.
Very much so. I mean, we see some parts of the world, and maybe that's true to some extent in the U.S. as well, at least through, you know, maintenance projects. But, you know, some parts of the world we see very good examples of how, you know, countries are essentially urbanizing big time, you know, building, you know, 20 plus new cities from scratch. And and how do they go about doing that in the most environmentally friendly way these days, you know, maintaining the aspect of being green and everything needs to be sustainable for the future. So we have some concepts that we're working on right now that takes, again, all the intelligence of the data that we are familiar with, the designs of the architects, the landscape planners, the, you know, people building bridges and road infrastructures, utility networks, etc. Bring all of that intelligence to the, let's say, pretty backdrop of virtual earth, which consumers are getting familiar with these days as the way to understand the world. You have buildings in the landscape, you understand the landscape, the height and elevation details of the landscape. But what you typically don't have in those models today is the intelligence that we can bring into that environment as overlays or as a very integrated fashion, and then popularizing that through, let's say, browsers, you know, on the internet. That helps the collaborative efforts between the authorities and the public.
Cool. And so essentially what could happen then is anybody could go to a website and figure out what building in Seattle is using the most energy during the day or at night.
That would be an aspect that we are hoping to achieve with our stuff. So I may actually be able to show you some of that if you...
Yeah, that would be great.
Let's just come out of these things here very quickly. Yeah, so this basically just talks to the fact that what we see in today's, I guess, computing environment around 3D GIS data is the types of virtual earth environments that Microsoft has put out. You know, nice landscapes, building footprints, those kind of things. But it gives everybody a good sense of, you know, what an environment looks like. But there is limited... dare I say, intelligence in the data.
Okay.
It's the geographic aspect, it's the location, the visual representation that is, I guess, the predominant factor of that. What we're hoping to do is to bring that visual representation kind of much closer in context with what you would see on the ground. So, I mean, putting the trees in place, putting the lines on the road in place, understanding, you know, where the infrastructure, the plumbing of the building, you know, understanding the doors, the surfaces, the windows, the floor plans, and all the plumbing that supplies that building with energy, as an example, is the kind of thing that is already in the CAD drawings and the designs of today. So we want to merge these two environments, having the relevant level of context and detail, so we can actually analyze, simulate, visualize that information much more.
Outstanding.
So I do, to your question earlier, you know, could you look at, again, heat or energy being exposed by buildings, for instance? I do have a couple of little sort of AVI snippets here that I could show.
Cool.
That perhaps would illustrate that. So again, these are concepts, and all the caveats, disclaimers come with this little thing, but what you're looking at here is essentially a 24-hour span of a city landscape. And again, given the color kind of coding, the thematically shaded colorizing here, you see the emission of, this could be just energy, from this building footprint. So that's just one way of visualizing, bringing out the raw data in a much more intuitive visual way, and using time as well as an indication for further analysis.
Absolutely.
Another very, very popular little snippet here. I may want to pause that a little bit. So what you're looking at here is the kind of virtual Earth landscape in the backdrop. In the middle, we have a new building, a new high-riser being proposed. So that has been put right on that empty plot. But you know, for the public works people, you know, they need to plan obviously the water, the wastewater, you know, all the utilities that makes this building come alive, so to speak. And this little example just shows how through the properties on the left hand side, this property dialogue, we can actually now put a little, you know, tool on top of the data and see the utility networks underground. So again, the intelligence is there, but in a typical 3D model, you wouldn't normally see that. But having basically this sort of X-ray window look underneath the ground, you see the individual segments of gas, electricity, water come to life.
Excellent.
And you know, moving around here, this also then allows you to, I think the demo will show that, turn off things. So if you're not interested in, what is that one? Properties, it turns off the gas, turns off the wastewater lines, turns off electricity. So what we've got back here are the water lines. And even that, you could then look at the attribute information and turn off specific segments and say, hey, what if I have to turn off this area? Which buildings does it impact? All of that comes from the intelligence, from the data, in the
Excellent.
Database, and just being represented, visualized, through the sort of 3D city landscape.
That's excellent. So, I mean, you know, as we look into the future, I mean, where is this going? Like, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, where's it going? I mean, as I say, this is the kind of concept that we've tried and put into the market right now. We are busily working on our next phases of development. But I think maybe to bring it back a little bit and consider what we have gone through, what we have seen the market go through in terms of design and CAD tools. I mean, Autodesk started up democratizing CAD on the early days, you know, PCs, just as the PCs came about. And that was all about 2D design. It was, you know, the paper-based design turned digital. We still have customers today who are scanning their old raster maps or raster data and putting it into a digital format that we can then use in our tools. But it was all 2D, it was flat. Then kind of phase two came about, which was all about 3D. So 3D is where you start seeing, you know, the building as looking as a, as a building. You can put surfaces on the building, you can start putting light sources on it and materials, and it becomes much more alive in the 3D sense of the word. I think the third phase that we are moving into now is much more of the modeling phase, where a building is not just a door and a window, but it's actually, it's an object, it's a model. It knows about, it has, dare I say, topology. It hangs together, so you can, you know, work with the whole of the building as opposed to the individual primitives that made it up. So that understanding, fundamental understanding of the models within your design, being able to digitally prototype using, whether it's a building model or model of something else, is the natural, you know, next step for us to explore in the context of digital cities. Because that's really when you have the intelligence from the design that is now stored in a powerful database, combined with the pretty backdrops of the world, that things really start to make sense for all of the constituent parties, as we talked about earlier, the agencies, the regulatory bodies, Joe Public, who will want to have a say in what happens when, and the impact of maybe putting up that high rise in the middle of his, or in the area of his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And using time series as well, looking at, you know, the before and after scenarios.
Interesting.
I think that's, to me, that's next step for geospatial. But it combines and naturally builds on, certainly within Autodesk, what the rest of the company is about.
Mm.
We even have an arm to the company that today, I guess, focuses very much on the film entertainment industry. And so, you know, the kind of Superman movies you see these days, of, mm-hmm. you know, it's all about 3D and I guess, creating those animations that makes new film so interesting and powerful. You know, the games industry is another area.
Sure.
We have software specifically designed to create games.
Hmm.
Combining that kind of, again, simulation, visual representation, animation, helps us do some of this type of analysis on top of what we have previously done through the raw design mm-hmm. and the geospatial analysis.
Excellent.
So that combines kind of all of the areas of expertise that we possess within the company
mm-hmm.
and hopefully to great benefits from, again, the future architects, designers, you know, landscape planners who needs to make decisions or at least put some of this in context mm-hmm. that it makes easy or makes it easier for the public to or get their buy-in.
Sure. I was joking earlier, but of course when they design cities, they do this type of thing. It just takes a much longer time and a lot more dealing with multiple file formats. Sometimes it's going to be paper, sometimes blueprint, sometimes it actually will be digital.
There's a lot of that going on today.
Exactly.
So
this will be nice to streamline it into a completely digital experience.
We want to move the dial on that and, you know, help our customers understand the future. And yeah,
well, you know, so. We build a lot of buildings here at Microsoft. You know, we could really use this to understand.
Have you got grass on the roof yet?
Do we have what?
Have you got grass on the roof?
No, I don't think we do.
They're not totally green then.
No, we're not.
I don't think we are either, but... But yeah, there's a lot of green ideas and you know, the whole digital sustainability theme is
important
at the forefront of our minds in terms of how we develop our workflows and the features and capabilities mm-hmm. of our products.
Excellent.
That's for sure.
Well, this has been very interesting. And just to, you know, summarize, I mean, you guys have created basically a platform for developing.
That's the division I'm in, called the platform division.
Excellent. I mean, it looks great.
Sure.
And you don't shut yourselves down to just one type of developer. You support PHP to C++, .NET types.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We want to focus on obviously what's in the market. But as I say, we do have a fairly broad set of APIs to support different types of development and integration mm-hmm. with external systems.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming on to Channel 9. It's
sure.
been great talking
You're
to
welcome.
You.
Thank
really
you.
Interesting stuff.
You're welcome.